This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM's Budget 2019 programming, presented to you by Mossing.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Richard Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio today by
Audrey Raj.
And
Fang Meilin.
And
I'm Arjit.
It is a special budget show today. We're going to be asking a bunch of questions to hopefully answer some of your guys' questions and, in fact, some of our questions, of course. It was tabled on Friday. Just to put people in the picture, is Amarjit Singh. He's from Ernst & Young, the tax partner, Malaysia tax leader. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, just to be clear. And then we have Fang Meilin from PwC Taxation Services, tax partner, entrepreneur and private business segment.
Yes, that's
welcome,
right.
Welcome, guys.
Thank you very much for joining us in the studio.
Thank you for inviting.
I think first and foremost, obviously it's the first budget from PH. Did it meet expectations and address some of the areas of concern? Amarjit.
Sure. I mean, you know, as we were leading to the budget, there were questions, right? In fact, I was getting a bit worried. You know, extra taxes, new taxes and all that. And, you know, and as I reflect back, you know, on one side, we were saying government is going to cut down spending. Mm. You know, we're going to be a bit more careful with how we award new contracts. And then we're also talking about new taxes. Mm. You know, we need to balance the two. Of course, you know, on one side is you know, cutting down the spending, but the other side is, you know, we need to manage the economic growth. Mm. And I think this one, to the extent that they could do this, they did manage to do it. So we had the austerity measures, but at the same time, I think they did give something, especially to the SMEs and the private businesses, you know, a little bit of a tax cut and a little bit of funding, some new initiatives, the 4.0. So, you know, both sides, it will help. And I was happy to hear. Are we not going to get 4.8% growth next year? So, all in all, quite balanced.
Pass. What about you, Meilin?
Yeah, Meilin, you were nodding along throughout all of that. Yeah.
Yes, I would say that the budget's quite comprehensive and inclusive and deals with current and future issues. I applaud the government in prioritising the entrepreneurial economy as one of the three focus areas of the budget 2019, as this sector is a key sector to drive growth within the Malaysian economy. And I think that it comes at a timely point where Malaysia has just launched their Industry 4.0 game plan, which I think will make an impact on entrepreneurs. And I think entrepreneurs should take advantage of that.
Mm, we will come back to Industry 4.0 in just a bit. But we know that the budget was 78 pages long. Plenty can get lost in there. What would you say were the major takeaways for SMEs and for entrepreneurs in Malaysia? What did Budget 2019 tell them?
Right. I would think that the Industry 4.0, the incentives given, it's not a lot of incentives, but the whatever incentives that were given, I would think is a good start, you know, to sort of spur the Industry 4.0. I think it's mainly more for the entrepreneurs to sort of take the baton now and put forth, you know, their best ideas, their best creativity, the best innovation to make full use of what the government has made available for them. There were financing, there were grants.
They're saying the ball is in your court now.
Yes, basically, right. Yeah. It is that. So I would urge entrepreneurs to have a look at what were the announcement on the financing, the grants, and I think there were incentives to sort of upgrade skills, because skill set is very, very important.
Training is very important.
Yes, upskilling or pushing Malaysia to the next level. Mm. You know, okay. So businesses should take note of that.
Amarjit.
Well, I think two things, right? One is that there was a survey done on SMEs last year, I think, and close to 40% of the SMEs says, you know, getting cash is one of their main main area of concern.
Funding yes.
Okay. Right? And this budget, I think for SMEs as a whole, some $2 billion has been given in terms of loan guarantees. And even for the digital adaptation, I think $3 billion is given. So, and you know, I like Guaning's statement in the speech, you know, the government's business is not to be in business. So really pushing it back to the private sector. And I think they're quite... listening, right?
Sounds very refreshing there.
Yeah, so listening. I think one, you know, for sure, funding. If funding is an issue, they've come up with some solutions. Number two, I think the digital adaptation by SMEs is fairly low. Mm. And I think, you know, Malaysia, there's a digital adaptation index, we are below the ASEAN average. So whilst a lot of companies do have access to internet, but usually these is used for sending emails, maybe a little bit of social tweaks, but not really. I guess we could see better results in terms of, you know, maybe how do we deal with customer service online, products that are delivered online, advertising. So the reach is not there. The way we bring our products to the market is really not there. So this funding in terms of, you know, helping businesses to be digitized, I think, is the right move.
There's also that service tax exemption for B2B transactions. How much do you see this exemption impacting the cost of doing business for SMEs? Is it really going to affect the bottom line, the exemption?
I think it will. Mm-hmm. Yet to see the details, though.
Yep.
In the old scheme, GST, so it's a natural, the basic fundamental principle is, you know, the business do not suffer the cost of the indirect tax. Mm. It goes back to the end consumer. But with service tax or sales tax, it's the business picks it up. And there will be instances where actually, you know, it's supposed to be a single stage tax. So, you know, there's only one business in the entire supply chain that should be suffering or should be bearing that sales tax cost. You don't want to have a compounding tax effect.
The cascading tax.
Yeah. Because, if you want to now get into sales tax and service tax, surely we need to follow the principle to the core. Mm. And the principle is really it's a single stage tax. Mm. But not everyone, if you are a small SME and you sort of purchase or import products and that product has an inbuilt sort of a sales tax in that and you're a manufacturer, then there's a second round of a sales tax. So, and, you know, under the old system, you would have gotten an input credit. Mm. But under this, you know, that sales tax is already embedded in your cost of purchase. Mm. So this exemption, I mean, depending on how the details come out, should serve to at least give some kind of a credit to that businesses, so that there's no sort of compounding effect on tax. Mm.
Just to let you know, you listeners at home know, if you have any questions that you want to throw at us throughout this session, we're going on until 1 o'clock. You can get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899, on Twitter and Instagram as well. We're at BFM Radio. Audrey.
Yes, we'll be talking more about Industry 4.0 in just a bit. Also, some of the initiatives under Budget 2019 on the retail sector. All that coming up after the break.
We're going to take a very short break. Some music coming up right now from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It is By the Way. Don't forget, 018-789-8899. You listen to the Budget Special here on BFM 89.9 on Enterprise Biz Bites.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Audrey Raj.
I have Amarjit Singh from Ernst & Young. I also have Fung Mei Lin from PwC Taxation Services. We are talking about the little bit of the budget that came out on Friday, of course, Budget 2019. Looking at some of the things that we are trying to understand a little bit more about how it affects directly SMEs and the digital economy. We actually had a question during the break from a number. I don't know the number, actually.
I think this is from Yap.
Oh, from Yap, who says, as an employee in technical service, how do we benefit from the upskill program and where to get more info? That question seems to be a little broad.
I think he's actually talking about the whole Industry 4.0 initiatives. Which is handy. I mean, it's good to finally hear that the government recognizes this is happening. Industry 4.0 is happening and SMEs and businesses are going to get the support they need to get in the race. Guys, just we have you in the studio here. In your opinion, are these initiatives sufficient? Because most of the experts we have had on Enterprise, on Resource Center, they have spoken to, they feel concerned about the lack of infrastructure to adopt smart tech. The initiatives announced on Friday, do you think they're sufficient to at least get us started?
I think what the government proposes is that the government provides the infrastructure and the private sector puts in the skill or the knowledge and the know-how. That's the the public-private sort of partnership that was mentioned during the public. I think a lot of it rests on the private business side to sort of take the baton and run with it rather than waiting for government to sort of support or provide incentive. I think Mr. Lim Guan Eng had earlier said that, you know, don't expect too much incentive from us. So it was quite heartening to know that, you know, there were a couple of incentives, new proposals mentioned in the budget, like, you know, allowing SMEs, the first 500 SMEs, to have or undergo this Industry 4.0 readiness assessment.
Mm.
And they're prepared to give you expenses of up to $27,000, you know.
For each company.
Yes, paid to the Malaysian Productivity Corporation to allow them to assess the readiness of the company.
What do they mean by readiness, do you think?
There's no definition yet.
Mm.
So we would take the normal dictionary meaning of it to say that, you know, how far a gap are you? Possibly.
Mm. Right.
You know, it could be possibly that. But you've got only 3 years to take up that offer, 2019 to 2021. So that's one sort of, you know, opportunity, you know, for SMEs to take advantage of it. And then there are various incentives for human capital development, vendor development program, and, you know, for those that are looking at upskilling, tax deductions given, you know, ranges from scholarship of students right up to double deduction on training programs approved by the Malaysian Investment Development Authority and the Ministry of Human Resource. So the options are there, you know, for businesses to take it up. It's just a matter of having the right strategy to move forward and take advantage of the Industry 4.0. Once the company is clear about their strategy on how you want to approach it, then, you know, go around and find out what are the support or what are, is the support given by the government, you know, to enable you or to just to sort of, you know, sort of have a bit of relief, you know, in taking this forward.
Amarjit, any thoughts?
Well, I mean, if you asked me whether it's sufficient, I guess nothing is ever sufficient.
But I love how you're so
never
honest.
But I guess you know it is a step in the right move, right? My issue with always these kind of initiatives is, you know, we do come up, and, you know, in the past administration, there's always a lot of stuff that is given out away. The question really is, how do we implement it, and how do we really bring it out to the businesses that, you know, we're really targeting, right? And many a times what I've seen and observed is, you know, at the point of, you know, where we're implementing it, then we start looking at the T's and the I's and we forget the original intention of what this is about, right? So grants you mentioned, right? Incentives you mentioned. The intention is really to get the SMEs, the smaller businesses, you know, quickly take benefit of the digital economy that we are getting into. But, you know, when they lease it out, you're going to have 3-4 pages of all the conditions and all. And that's when, you know, question is, am I going to get in or not? So I think that's where my, you know, that's where I want to watch and see how this new administration, you know, will implement this. I think that they're doing the right things. They're moving on the right track. They are basically addressing the key issues. Question is, when it comes to the ground.
Right. Mm. One of those key issues that I'd like to focus on is the National Fibre Connectivity Plan as well. Mm. I mean, I know I'm stepping forward a little bit here, I'm moving forward a little bit, but you were saying, how far behind do you think Malaysia is?
Ooh.
Okay.
Tough one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the numbers. All I know is from the economic report, there was a study in there, and we are actually below ASEAN average.
Right.
This is
right.
I can give you a real life example.
Yeah,
you know, of this. I have a client which is in the sectors, one of the, I think, the second largest sectors of Malaysia in the resource business, and they are located in a town where their unified service is not even stable, and they are exporting the second largest amount of exports for the country.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, and they said that, you know, they would love to go on internet, you know, to sort of, you know, put their business, their products online. But the stability of the internet. I think I'm not even sure they get Unify. I think they may even get Streamix.
Wow.
But you know, to be fair, a company that has done so well where they are in that position with a terrible internet connection in today's, you know, in today's age,
environment.
I mean, that's admirable. I mean, but you know, when we're looking at lowering prices, increasing speed, clearly they're going to benefit greatly from that, right?
Yes. So I'm sure my client's looking forward to this. Mm. You know, national fiber connectivity band, the increase in it.
I mean, looking over the weekend, we received press releases from all sorts of businesses. And I think one of the main ones that stood out, Lazada, e.co, they mentioned how the decision to reduce fixed line broadband prices could actually, it's going to boost internet connectivity in rural areas. And they expect to up the number of e-commerce players from these rural areas by about, I think they say it's going to empower at least 100,000 sellers by mid-2019. That's what this little move is going to do. And that's just talking about e-commerce players.
Which begs the question as to why it hasn't happened before, doesn't it?
Hmm. You know, why didn't they recognize that this needed to be done before?
But that's just a speculation, just a little bit of speculation. Anyway, if you'd like to get in touch, you'd like to ask us any questions, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. Get us on Twitter or on Instagram at BFM Radio.
Yeah, we're also going to be talking a bit about the retail sector.
Yes, there's a little app that's come out, isn't there?
Yes, it's called the Price Catcher.
What's it all about?
Yes, Amarjit?
I mean, I think it's...
I know you're excited about this, so I'm just going to leave it to you.
I am. So in the past, when we first introduced GST, there was also this price control. And what we saw on the ground was a lot of government officers were visiting outlets. And
spot check.
Yeah, spot check, right? And then you have this debate between the business owner and these officials. The business owner is saying, you know, I'm not really increasing prices.
From my distributor.
Yeah, you know, those kind of stuff. And, you know,
it's
and
not
then,
my fault.
Yeah. And, you know, input price has gone up. Hence, I'm not making extraordinary margins and things like that. Mm. How many offices can we really have and how many outlets can they really visit? So this is, you know, provided the app is done in the right way, you're just mobilizing 30 million populations in Malaysia.
So this Price Catcher is essentially a mobile app to mitigate unlawful pricing practices through crowdsourcing efforts.
So, I love this idea.
Yes. So if you want to buy a tissue box.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. And it's like R2 in your Speedmart, and then you go to, I don't know, like down the road into a grocery store and it's like R4. You can report it immediately. That's what we expect from this app.
Yeah.
And then what happens though? Enforcement officers come down?
No, I think because this is... So I'm assuming there should be some, you know, at least some data analytics working behind.
Malin's laughing over here, you know.
Yeah.
I can imagine the man on the street, you know, going around, you know, taking photos of the price tags from one shop to another and be the policeman, you know.
But I know what it's like being in, like a grocery store and then suddenly I see, oh, you know, my dishwash is like R1 cheaper here. And I'm like, yes, I buy five now because it's cheaper here. You know, in that shop, it was like R6. I know what it feels like to find a good steal, a good bargain. Mm. But then again, what's with the discrepancy? That's not right to begin with, right?
Well, I think when you look at discrepancies, there are many really different reasons, right? I mean, if you are in a complex that is, you know, air conditioned, and so there are a lot more overheads, naturally the price is going to be different. So I don't think the idea behind is, you know, everybody starts bringing down their price. I mean, price...
There's a uniform price for a product,
I don't think, that you're ever going to get that. And I don't think that's the objective. The objective really is there abuse? Mm-hmm. So with the app, and hopefully there will be some analytics working behind to come up with data, sufficient data for then the enforcement officers to target the real, culprits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to take a very short break. We're going to go to some music from Madness. It is Our House. If you have any questions that you'd like to throw at me, Audrey, Amarjit, or Malin, please do get us on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899, on Twitter and on Instagram at BFM Radio. You've got about another half an hour before we have to wrap up. Right, you are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Better Finance Management. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury, and I'm in the studio with
Audrey Raj.
I've also got Amarjit Singh from Ernst & Young, the tax partner, Malaysia tax leader. I've also got Fung Mei Lin, a PwC taxation services, tax partner, entrepreneur, and private business segment. I'm running out of breath already introducing all that. You know.
I mean, such cool designations, right? Malaysia tax leader. And what are we? Presenter.
Yeah, producer.
Mm-hmm.
Mouth. That's what I am, a mouth. Anyway, we've asked you guys if you have any questions to get in touch. 018-789-8899. Get us on Twitter or on Instagram at BFM Radio.
We're trying to keep the conversation focused on SMEs and, you know, entrepreneurship. If you have any questions relating to the budget, relating to SMEs and entrepreneurship, you know, most of you come in with messages on, like, you know, just your consumer tax and stuff like that. We have experts in the house who are just waiting to answer your questions on how the budget affects SMEs and entrepreneurs. So please.
And they speak a different language too. They speak tax language. So one of the things I want to ask about then, digital tax. It's already coming into play in January 2020 and details are still trickling in. But what do we actually know about it so far? Either of you?
Okay.
You're as confused as we are.
Okay, I'll take this.
Go on.
The digital tax basically is, if you just break it down, it's as simple as the service tax that's being applied for imported services, including online services. Now, just imagine today you pay service tax on a particular taxable service, but if you buy the service from overseas, it may not have that service tax.
So we're talking about Netflix, Spotify. There's going to be some people really unhappy with this, aren't there?
Yeah, but I think it goes beyond that, because we need to have sort of a level playing field for the local service providers of similar services. So if you want to come into Malaysia to find your clients, your customers, and all that, you know, be on the level playing field with the other competitors in the in Malaysia.
What about e-commerce providers? Mm. Like, say, so I buy something on Alibaba. Mm. How then?
No, so there are two, right? First, I think we need to... So one is the services, services provided by a foreign entity.
Okay. Mm.
So it's in a way, it's an importation of services.
Right.
And that's what Mei Lin has just explained. So today, if you're a business and you are, say, getting, IT consulting work from a Malaysian company, when the Malaysian company bills you, there's a 6% service tax, right? But say that Malaysian company gets the IT services, maybe not from a Malaysian company, but maybe someone sitting in Singapore, then there is no service tax. So what the government is trying to do is, you know, businesses moving forward, and this is coming 1st Jan 2019. So the businesses will need to do what we call a self-charge. So, of course, when you get a bill from someone sitting in Singapore for an IT service, when you receive that bill doesn't have a service tax 6%. Yeah. So what businesses will need to do now is to do a self-tax by yourself and then make report and remit that money to customs, which is a bit like the old GST. There was always the what we call reverse charge. So it was always there. The only difference between GST and the service tax would be GST, you get an input credit. If you're a sort of a standard supplier, registered, right? Whereas in service tax, like I mentioned earlier, is single stage, so that becomes your cost. So that's one. The other one we're talking about, and I think you're referring to digital tax, right? Now, that's really this stuff that you get from online purchases. And that's a trend, I think, globally. You have countries like, I think, you know, Singapore is going to do it 1st Jan 2020 as well.
I think the UK is also considering it as well.
Yeah, so almost everyone is getting into this. And I think the thinking behind this is, you know, it's a little bit of, and maybe I'm going to bore you a bit, with the principles of taxation, right? So in the past, basically, if you're not in a country, and based on our tax treaty, you don't have a presence in a country, then through treaty agreements and just general international principles of tax, that particular country will not be able to tax you. So say someone that is sitting overseas providing a service or providing, you know, releasing products via online, Malaysia will not be able to tax it. right? But the world is changing. The business models are changing. And, you know, everywhere. So this is a global trend. This is not just Malaysia. The countries are saying, you don't now, I mean, in the past, if you want to provide some kind of a service, say streaming, you need to be physically present. But today, because of technology, because of the internet, you can actually sit in a land far, far away. You don't even need to step into the country, and you can still provide and earn revenue from Malaysia.
And that's why, for the longest time, you'd see some of these streaming providers originally appearing in the countries. They'd pop in there, they'd have an office in Singapore, they'd have a. Yeah. Now they don't need that, is what we're saying. Yeah.
So the way this is going to be done is I think step one is really the consumption tax way, which is what Malaysia has just done. Mm-hmm. So they're saying, okay. So in this case, what's going to happen is those companies that actually provide online services to Malaysian consumers, customs will need to work with them and get them registered for service tax. So today, when we download some stuff, those companies, firstly, they need to register themselves. And then when they get a payment from us, they then need to deduct the service tax portion and then remit it to customs. So 2020 is because you need this time, you need now, we're in 2018, November, you need about a year to
get... For this long, tedious process of...
Because it's about who, right? But I guess, what's going to be the threshold, for example? Mm. You know, if someone just says it's, providing sales to Malaysians and the revenue that they're earning from Malaysian public is, say, just 20,000, do you really want to go through the effort of getting them registered? And, it's a lot of stuff that you need to do behind to make sure that these things are done properly.
Mm. Raylene, any more to add to that?
Yes, I think following Amarjit's point about the administration, so with this introduction of this digital tax, in that, I think the government needs to be clear as to the criteria or if any threshold at all, because like say a 20,000 ringgit sale, you've got to make the local, the guy, on the street to register, have the proper accounting, proper records to monitor all of this. Well, on the flip side, you could say that, previously, you could use the old GST system, to just piggyback on it and just continue with that, if they have it, good for them. So this is the administrative part of it.
But it is necessary to kind of level the playing field, right? Because,
I would think so.
If everyone here is getting taxed and then you don't have to be taxed if you are,
Located services somewhere,
from somewhere else. That's not fair.
I always worry when we, when we talk about tax and when as a country we start to do things that are maybe not in line with international trends. Mm. But this is one move that I think it is in line. I mean, we are a trading nation. We need to follow international trends, international principles, right? A couple of years ago, I remember they introduced a withholding tax on overseas services. So someone providing, and that was really not in line. Mm. And that created a lot of pain for businesses, foreign multinationals that were based in Malaysia for more than 30 years. Eventually, the government reversed that provision.
Within the year.
It took us 9 months to get it through. So, new taxes, but it needs to be in line with international practices.
All right, we're going to take a very short ad break. We've got some adverts coming up, a track by Queen coming up as well. And when we come back, we'll be wrapping up the show. Maybe looking at, out of the 78-page budget, something that you think maybe got buried and hasn't really been mentioned so much. We'll have a little bit of a chat. Right, you are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back in just a couple of minutes.
Bring forth Malaysia. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It's almost time for us to wrap up for this session. We've been talking about the budget 2019 with Amarjit Singh from Ernst & Young and Fung Mei Lin from PwC. One of the things that we wanted to look at very quickly, do you want to go to the question first?
We have a question here that Mei Lin said she will take. This is from Mel, who says, any SST on building equipment, for example, aircon, toiletries, lifts, etc., for construction industry?
Yeah, I think to answer this question specifically, you need to identify the item and to refer to the tariff code. And with that tariff code, you know, you can sort of identify the item, whether it is an exempted item, subject to 5% or 10% of sales tax.
Okay. All right.
Thank
so
you, Milan.
One thing we wanted to look at is, we just mentioned it before we went to the break there, was about whether or not there's anything in the 78-page budget.
And that long
yes,
announcement on Friday.
That you felt maybe was buried a little bit or didn't get the attention it should have done. Amajit, I'll ask you first.
Sure. I think one for me is the voluntary disclosure scheme.
Mm.
So this is now about, you know, owning up. So whilst the government is doing a cleanup exercise and a lot of the mega projects and the contracts that were awarded, I think it's also now a message to us, whether you're businesses or whether we are individuals. The government has come up with a scheme where if you have in the past, you know, not declared the income or wrongfully declared your income, maybe under-declared income or overclaim expenditure, you can come up clean. And what the government is saying, we will give you a concessionary penalty rate on that under-declared income or overclaimed expenses. So if you make that disclosure from now until 31st of March, the penalty rate is 10%.
Mm.
And if you make the announcement, the disclosure by 30th June, it goes up to 15, I believe. Mm. And now, if you don't take up the offer and you have the tax man visiting your office or, you know, looking at your returns that you file online, then the rates can go up from 80% to 300%.
Is this on individual tax or just...
It's actually on everything.
On everything.
So it's on corporate tax, it's on individual tax, it's also on real property gains tax. So if you, you know...
Oh, wow.
If you've made a sale in the past and not declared, you know, the gain that you made from that sale, it's good time to own up.
So between now and June next year, it is the discount for your saman kind of concept.
Yeah, in a way, yes.
But you're not actually getting a discount. You're just getting an up to 15% rebate?
No, it's a penalty.
Okay.
Yeah. So for every dollar that you have underdeclared in terms of tax, right, usually the law allows the authorities to penalize, to impose penalty up to 300%.
300%?
Yeah. So in practice, in the past, you know, especially with corporate, when the tax man visits a company for an audit, and if during that course of the audit, you know, items were discovered, maybe because of error, or, you know, or what may be the case, the usual penalty that was imposed is 45%.
Mm.
And then I think towards the end of last year, there was talks about increasing that to 100%. And if you remember, there were a lot of headlines where just before the election, there were a lot of headlines about, you know, big groups of companies, you know, the taxmen had gone and visited and raised assessment, 100 million, 400 million. So that was just not the under-declared tax. There was also the penalties that was imposed over and above the tax, the shortfalling tax.
Okay, very quickly, I want to move on to Mei Lin.
Right, I think in addition to the special voluntary disclosure program, I think the other item that businesses should take note of is the increase in the real property gains tax rate.
Mm.
Right, so if one were to dispose of your real property or shares in real property companies after the fifth year, for companies, the tax rate increases from 5% to 10%. For the individual Malaysian citizen or PR, is increased from 0% to 5%. Now, this takes effect from 1st of January 2019. So, technically,
so sell your property now, lah. Between now and 31st December, just get rid of it. We don't mention it's 5%. But I just want to know, is it like a tiered? Is it going to be up to 5%? Or is it going to be 5%, a flat rate, even if you sell a property that's 30 years old or that you've held for 30 years?
Yes, it's after the fifth year.
Whoa.
Yeah, so after the fifth year for companies, it's now 10% instead of 5%. So if businesses are looking at restructuring or if a particular business needs to realign their holding of real properties or shares in real property company, I would suggest to quickly look at it.
I like the vision she put that. Okay.
Okay, ladies and gents, we are going to have to wrap up for the day. But first of all, Amajit and Fang Wei Lin, thank you very much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Helped me out a little bit. You've helped Audrey out, and I'm sure you've helped a bunch of people at home out. And budgets are always very, very complicated things. And sometimes I just need somebody to kind of hold my hand and guide me through it and tell me a little bit more about it, right?
Yes.
Right. That has been the Enterprise BizBytes Budget Special. BizBytes on a budget, you may say. But don't go anywhere, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, of course, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. Deputy International Trade Minister YB Dr. Ong Kian Ming and Maybank Etika Chief Strategy Officer Chris Eng were on hand to talk about the budget as well, focusing on the dominant role of oil revenue in funding the budget and the repercussions on Malaysia's path to fiscal consolidation and the reaction amongst global ratings agencies to this development. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. My name is Rich Bradbury. I've been in the studio with
Audrey Raj
and
Amarjit
and
Maylin.
That's all the time we have for today. We will, of course, be back tomorrow, same time, same place.
No, it's a holiday. Tomorrow is Diwali.
We'll be back on Wednesday.
Yes, we will.
Same time, same place, here on Enterprise BizBytes on BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM's Budget 2019 programming was presented to you by Ma Sing. Reinvent spaces, enhance life.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.